Welcome back.
Great to be here.
In this lesson, we're exploring Lesson 1.2, Why Data Matters in Learning, Work, and Society.
It's a really important one.
It is. If you've watched the overview, this will build on that. If not, you'll still be able to follow along. Now let's go further by exploring practical examples, future workplace relevance, responsible use, and how you can build confidence with this skill.
I'm ready when you are.
Awesome. So to kick things off, I was thinking about how to visualize this. Imagine you're navigating a brand new, incredibly complex city, like you just moved there.
Okay, yeah, like Tokyo or New York.
Right. If you don't use data, it's basically like wandering around hoping you just magically stumble upon your destination. You know?
Good luck with that.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Data is, well, it's the GPS. It provides clear, actionable coordinates for your future career.
That is a perfect analogy.
Yeah.
And, you know, the core premise from our text today is pretty much exactly that.
Yeah.
Data really is the ultimate tool for navigating our digital life and our future careers.
Because it takes away the guesswork.
Because it helps us understand situations, right? It helps us identify problems, measure our progress, and just make informed decisions instead of, you know, just guessing.
Which is so much better than the alternative.
Exactly. But to really appreciate that GPS, we kind of have to look at what happens when we don't use it. Like what happens when we decide to just fly blind?
Oh, the pitfalls of ignoring data. Let's get into that.
So the text outlines a few specific dangers. The first one is making decisions based purely on assumptions.
Like assuming a certain job is always going to be around just because it always has been.
Right, without looking at the data on, say, automation or industry shifts.
Yeah.
The second danger is relying too heavily on emotions.
Making a choice out of sudden panic or even excitement.
Yeah, exactly. The third is acting on incomplete information, like treating one single puzzle piece like it's the entire picture.
That happens all the time.
It does. And the fourth one, which I actually think is the most insidious, is personal bias.
Oh, confirmation bias.
Right. Without the friction of hard data, our brains naturally just default to whatever reinforces what we already believe to be true. If we connect this to the bigger picture, shifting to evidence-based decisions and like proper measurement, it directly improves accuracy and fairness.
It improves planning too.
Yes. Your planning and problem solving becomes so much more robust.
Okay, let's unpack this for a second because I want to play devil's advocate regarding the emotions part.
Sure, go for it.
Wait, isn't there value in trusting our gut sometimes? Like, I've made big choices based on a gut feeling and they worked out. Why completely replace emotion with data?
Oh, it's not about becoming a robot. I'm really glad you brought that up.
Because it sounds a little clinical, right? Just, you know, relying entirely on a spreadsheet.
It can sound that way, yeah. But the goal isn't to amputate your intuition. It's to use data to anchor those feelings so that a hidden bias isn't masquerading as intuition.
Oh, I see. So the gut feeling is like the hypothesis.
Exactly. Data audits your emotion. You feel a certain way, and then you use evidence to figure out why you feel that way.
That makes a lot of sense. So we're moving from high-level theory to something practical. How do we actually use this in our day-to-day lives right now?
The source material is great for this. It walks through practical application activities like study habits, budgeting, health, career planning.
Even project management, right?
Yes, all of it. But the major focus here, and we really need to emphasize this, is finding patterns.
Patterns.
Look for patterns, not isolated numbers.
Yeah.
That is the core strategy.
Okay. It's like looking at your bank account on the exact day rent is due and just panicking.
Yes. You see that one number and you freak out.
That's the isolated number. Versus looking at your budgeting trends over, say, 6 months and seeing you're actually saving money. That's the pattern.
That is a brilliant way to frame it. An isolated number triggers a panic response. A pattern gives you a clear, accurate picture that you can actually work with. It's huge for personal productivity.
It really changes your relationship with your own information. So taking that idea of habit tracking, let's connect that personal level to how large organizations operate, like the future workplace.
That is a great transition because the text brings in a really specific real-world case study about this.
The university early warning system.
Right. There's this university that started using student attendance and academic performance data. And the whole goal was to identify students who needed academic support much earlier in the semester.
So an early warning system. But how does an organization actually know what to look for? Like, are the trends always obvious?
No, actually, they're often not obvious at all. That goes back to the core concept that Data reveals trends that you wouldn't catch just by looking.
Right, because a professor in a giant lecture hall isn't going to notice if one student misses a Tuesday class.
Exactly. But an algorithm tracking multiple subtle variables will. It notices the missed class. It notices a drop in reading time. It notices a late assignment submission.
It aggregates the whispers.
Yes. And this university is essentially a blueprint for a digitally enabled future workplace. Tracking metrics isn't about punishment.
It's not Big Brother watching you to fire you.
Right. It's about proactive support and problem solving. If a manager sees a pattern of dipping output, it's an indicator that the employee might be facing burnout or lacking resources.
I love that framing. But, and I have to push back again here.
Bring it on.
If we just blindly follow the numbers without context, couldn't data actually make our personal biases worse by giving us a false sense of being objective? Like, the algorithm flagged you, so you must be lazy.
That is such a vital point. And it brings us right to the responsible use reflection. This raises an important question. What happens when we strip away the real world?
We get a very cold, potentially unfair system.
Exactly. The text emphasizes this vital caveat: data must be interpreted with context. Always.
Without real-world context, it can be totally misunderstood.
Right. Going back to the student, let's say the system flags them for missing three morning classes. The data says they're disengaged.
But the human context might be that the city changed the bus routes, and they literally can't get there on time.
Exactly. If you don't add that human layer, you make unfair decisions based on incomplete information. Ethical and responsible use means grounding the numbers in reality. It ensures fairness rather than reinforcing assumptions.
So it's not just about collecting data, it's about being responsible with it.
100%.
Okay, so now that we understand the power and the pitfalls, how do you actually practice this? Like, what is the practical growth advice for someone listening?
The source outlines some really great specific strategies. The first one is to use evidence before making conclusions.
Which is hard. Our brains want to jump to the end.
They do. But you have to pause that reflex. The second technique is to compare data over time, finding those patterns we talked about. And the third is to connect data to real-world context.
So the daily habit is pausing the jump to conclusion reflex. Instead of being the judge who hands down a sentence immediately,
right,
you have to play the detective first, gathering the evidence over a timeline.
I love the detective analogy.
Yeah.
And a good detective needs tools. The text highlights a few practical digital tools that you can explore to build digital confidence.
Let's talk about those.
So the first one is Google Trends.
Oh, yeah. I use that sometimes.
It's amazing for seeing macro shifts. Like, if you want to know what skills are becoming more relevant in your industry, you can literally see the momentum of search interest over years.
That's real evidence. What's the second one?
Our World in Data.
I've heard of that.
It is incredible for getting a big picture perspective.
Yeah.
If you want to understand long-term global trends, whether that's health, energy, or poverty, it zooms you out so you aren't just reacting to the daily news cycle.
Right. Getting out of the panic of the isolated number.
Exactly. And the third tool is Statista.
Oh, that's a classic. Finding baseline statistics for pretty much any industry.
Right. You don't have to guess how a certain market is behaving. You can just go find the consumer surveys. Practicing with these tools makes you a much better detective.
So it's about shifting your mindset and then actually using the tools available to build that confidence.
Exactly. Which brings us to the closing thought. I really want to pose the exact reflection prompt from the source directly to you, the listener.
Okay, let's hear it.
Ask yourself, where in my life could I use data instead of assumptions to make better decisions?
That is such a powerful question. Is it your budget, your study schedule, how you react to feedback?
Finding those areas is how you grow.
Absolutely. Well, as we wrap up this audio learning experience, we really want to encourage you to stay curious, responsible, and future ready.
Keep looking for those patterns.
Yes. And be sure to review the end of module study guide and complete the workbook activities to really lock this in.
Highly recommend doing that.
Also, if you want to dive even deeper into these concepts, you should check out the reference materials mentioned in the text, specifically factfulness, the signal and the noise, and thinking fast and slow.
Those are all incredible reads. They will completely change how you view information.
They really will. And finally, just something to mull over on your own. We've talked a lot about using data from the past and present to make safe decisions. But remember, innovation sometimes means doing something totally unprecedented.
Oh, that's true.
So as you get comfortable with data, ask yourself, how can you use it to understand the baseline rules of your industry just so you know exactly when it's the right time to break them.
I love that. Data gives you the foundation to innovate.
Exactly. Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive.
It's been a pleasure.
We will see you next time.